B-Pod Studios.
Sports Up. Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-za, ba-do-za.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Season four, your mom's a horn.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walt Dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
I'm having trouble with my bowels. They're leaking out all over me. My girlfriend found me with 5 pounds of stinky butt mud in my briefs, all alone in my room. Heart is beating by machine. My dad is way cooler than me. I'm not liked by Rich or Fred. I wish I was just dead, all alone in my room.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. It's a Twitch app. Follow 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can call us at 617-779-0985. All of those things are on the table.
Speaking of calling us, we might be getting a pleasant surprise this morning. I woke up and saw that around 1:30 a.m., even though we weren't expecting a call from this gentleman, Brandon Merriweather tweeting, "Tune in this morning at 8 a.m. You know I never hold back. Hashtag Pats Nation at Toucher and Rich." So even though Brandon Merriweather, not scheduled, Brandon Merriweather is kind of like a not on and off again, but he's going to be on with us a bunch on Wednesdays, not every Wednesday. And this was one of the off ones, but apparently he's not aware of that. So we may have a call from Brandon Merriweather. So there you go. Might as well have him on. Sure. You know, why not?
Yeah. Okay.
So if Brandon Merriweather is excited to be on, why would you kind of crush his dreams? He was very happy about being on the at 8 o'clock today.
He would be our only guest.
Yep.
Our only guest today.
That's right. Although we have a ton of things to discuss. Yesterday was a very eventful day. We have a lot of good audio that came from many, many things that happened during the evening.
Yeah. So the Mets were in town.
Mets were in town.
And Nick talked to Met fans.
Talked to Nick, Mets fans, that's right. He was out there at the game.
Because the Met fans come.
Yes.
People were questioning me after the show, but there's Met fans.
They come and they're letting Dykstra and Dwight Gooden jerseys, and they come to party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Met fans, and they wear their colors proudly.
Yes.
Because Met fans will even go to Red Sox games wearing Met jerseys when they're not playing the Mets, just to let you know I'm not a Red Sox.
So I learned something by listening to a lot of this audio that Nick brought in, is that Mets fans like the Red Sox a lot.
Well, the
big the fans one, of the Red Sox.
That's because they both teams hate the Yankees.
And that's exactly their rationale.
That's the commonality
They hate the Yankees. Yeah. So when the Red Sox win, it's good for them.
Yeah.
Because they hate the Yankees so much.
New York still is very baseball-centric. Well, Boston seems to have moved past it a little bit.
Yeah, 04 changed everything, so...
Yeah, because you'll tune in to like WFAN or something like on a Monday, and you'll go, and I'll go, I want to hear what they're saying about, you know, the Jets, and they'll be talking about the Yankees, and you go, huh, I don't want to hear this. And so what I do is I send them nasty tweets going, what the hell are you? It's Monday after a Jet game. You're talking about the Yankees?
Sure.
And then I think, oh, they're talking to more than me. Mm-hmm. There's more people. They're talking to a bunch of people, and maybe some people would like to hear about that.
And maybe they talked about the Jets, like, literally the break before. And well, maybe but that doesn't serve
me. That doesn't serve me. But that. Right. But I want what I want.
Right.
That's what I do to everything. That's what I do to the news. They're talking about something, and I think there's a big story, like why Brookline's not recognizing Indigenous Peoples Day and having the marathon traipse through there on Indigenous Peoples Day. Mm-hmm. So I'll go, why is this not the first story on the news? So now that I know Marshall Hook, I'll just text Marshall.
Yeah, sure.
And I'll say, what's going
on?
What's going on over there at that ass show?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, I'm watching right now. Why was this not the lead story? People need to know. It's what I my entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, the Office will be on, and I'll go, why is this a Jim and Pam episode? I don't care about them.
And you know what? Twitter's the best place to complain about it.
Yep.
Always.
Yep. And then I get in fights with people on there. And they go, I like Jim and Pam. And they go, you must not have any soul. And I go, you have no soul. And then we'll start fighting.
He says, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And you go, yeah.
And I go, you're fat. And they go, you're fat. And I go, oh.
Yeah, but you're stupid.
Yeah. That's right. How I get things done.
Are you getting any kind of, speaking of like the Red Sox and everything at the end of the season, are you getting any kind of postseason tickets if
there was
if this all happens?
I was looking for that, and there was I've gotten one email. I didn't open it because I'm not buying postseason tickets, but there was one email that came out. It was not self-aggrandizing. It wasn't like, hey, everybody, buy postseason tickets on our way to the World Series. It was said something about postseason tickets, so I threw it away.
I'm wondering if, like, if you were to buy tickets to the wild card game, let's say it was here. I mean, like, right now they're in the position
right
where it would
here,
be.
Yes.
Yeah, so let's say you were able to buy tickets to that. I'm wondering what kind of demand there would be for that. Like, is there any kind of buzz? Would you be able to sell those and make money
no,
if
because
you bought them?
I'll give you an example. When they played Cleveland in the playoffs, I don't remember when, I took my son and the people behind me knew who I was, and they were being pretty annoying. And I had bought tickets from somebody, like, for, like, face value, like a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And they were razzing me because they had bought their tickets for far less than I had paid for mine.
Yeah, I'm wondering what the buzz is for the postseason on the Red Sox. I don't know. I can't get any kind of read on it because it sure does seem like as soon as Patriot season starts, like, that stuff kind of goes by the wayside. And just because this team, there's been kind of a love-hate relationship throughout the season, I can't tell whether anybody's truly excited about the Red Sox going into the postseason.
It would take the ALCS. That's what it was the year they played Detroit and then the Cardinals. Is no, and that was years ago, but no one cared about anything until the
13. Well, 13 was the year that, you know, it was after Bobby Valentine, right? Or no, yep. Chicken, it was, yeah, Bobby, yes. Bobby Valentine.
Bobby Valentine was 2012.
That's right.
So yes, sir.
So people kind of hated everything about the Red Sox, and then, you know, slowly throughout that year, you know, there was like the Koji Uehara story where he was becoming unbelievable, but nobody was watching until, you're right, partly into the postseason.
Like, yeah, the ALCS. Once they won the divisional round, then people started to care.
Yeah, so I can't get a read on it, and I haven't been to Fenway in a couple of months, so I don't even know if there's any kind of buzz even down at the park.
It's much bigger than it was just because they're letting people in now. There was nothing going on early in the season, but now, yeah, I mean, it's been crowded when I had been there. And then, you know, when you go there, the crowd, and especially years like this, is people from other places or people that, like, never go there. So it's, you know, everyone's all amped up and, you know, cheering fly balls to, like, short right, you know, like, ah, and you're like, what, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, is it a fight? And then you go, oh, that ball that just got hit, 150 feet. Oh, wow. Well, we're cheering for that now, huh? That's what we're doing? Even my son was like, what is everyone cheering for?
They're allowed full capacity, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay,
because I went, like, kind of in the sweet spot. I was right there at the end of June, I think was the last game I went to it at Fenway. And it was a gorgeous day, but it was also against, I forget what team it was, but
probably
it wasn't
Baltimore.
A very good team. Yeah, like they do seem to play Baltimore all the time.
I dumped my Baltimore, my $190 tickets, I dumped for 70 apiece to the Baltimore game on Sunday.
No, it was like some National League team that was in town, and it was a weekday, and I remember it being, man, maybe two-thirds full. There were a lot of empty seats.
Okay, the average attendance for a home game this year for the Red Sox is 20,000.
Well, you can't by that.
Really?
You can't go by that. Because they didn't allow full capacity for half the year.
All right, so they're 11th in Major League Baseball in average attendance this year.
Okay, well, I don't know what the rules are other places. But, I mean, the first game I went to, there was no one there.
But that was like a month. Wasn't it like a month later?
Whatever, it lowers the average.
It does lower the average, but
their average attendance is fine. Their attendance is fine. It's certainly not 10,000 under capacity since they've been full. There's no way.
I guess my point is that it has been much better in the past. The Red Sox interest has fallen off.
Well, yeah. Well, it's fallen off. But let's not act like 5 years ago people cared.
No, But
the chicken.
Said in 2004 things changed. I mean, it was a baseball centric city until they won it all, and the Patriots were really on the rise in 2003-04. So it's a Patriots town now, and the Red Sox are just kind of there.
Yeah,
you know that's the overriding point to all of this.
No,
I mean there were times you really had trouble getting in for long periods of time to Fenway Park.
But they've also
not the case now.
They've raised the prices to such a ridiculous amount.
Remember that BS sellout streak that they were trying to sell for all those years?
Yeah.
I mean, they really like inflated numbers even though they were empty seats. Well, we sold the tickets to the game where they would give away seats to the YMCA and see that the seats are full, they're taken. Now it's a different ballgame.
$190 a ticket to go sit in the Pavilion Club.
Yeah, people are realizing it's awesomely expensive over the last 5 years. Beer, parking, tickets. Well, it's the smallest capacity in the league, and we have the highest payroll. I don't think that has anything to do with it.
If you're parking there, you're out of your mind. I'll tell you that,
too. Yeah, you park close to the ballpark. What is it, $30, $40
Well,
now?
I'll tell you, not only is it expensive.
They used to gouge the crap out of you for Yankee games, too.
Well, they gouge the crap out of you in terms of pricing for tickets for Yankee games, too. It's all tiered pricing per game, like based on who they're playing, too.
I think they fixed the parking problem. The city of Boston's like, all right, that's
you know how
enough.
They fixed it? By getting rid of all the parking.
I mean, building more buildings like, near the Fenway?
Like, if you haven't been to Fenway in, like, a couple years, like,
you won't recognize it.
And you haven't driven down there, like, don't drive down
there.
Yeah. Don't. You're not parking. It's way easier to park at the Garden.
I know. There used to be lots everywhere. Yeah. Now there are lots.
There's nowhere. I mean, I went with Rucker, and he drove, and we drove for 40 minutes.
Yeah. I mean,
because he was like a promotions guy.
Yeah.
So he knew every nook and cranny and alley and everything, and it's all gone.
So you got to park at the Pru and walk. If you're going to drive, that's where you got to park.
That's a smart move.
Yep.
It's true.
Well, then the only excuse for that is if you live far away. I mean, there's ride service. For the price of a ride service, I mean, you can just get dropped off at the park and not have to walk.
Because you're still paying, like, I think $30 is a good deal, like, to park at the Pru.
So let me ask you this. So if it's $25 each way using a ride service,
mm-hmm.
but it's $30 to park at the Pru and you have to walk to and from the Pru, but the ride service drops you off at Fenway, are you paying the extra $20? And to me,
the only hassle would be getting out of there and waiting around for your car to show up.
You got to leave.
Also, ride services at rush hour can cost more than that. I mean, it's pretty expensive. If you're coming in, so let's say you're coming in from a place like, I don't know, like a Medford or whatever. Like, that's a fairly expensive. Yeah.
Would you rather
Uber.
Wait around for your car service to battle traffic back into Fenway to come pick you up? Or
battle traffic coming out of the Pru. But the thing is that they're usually lined up. Now, after COVID's gone away a little bit, but
the okay thing about the Pru is that you can go in the tunnel and come out right there, so you don't have to hit any of that road traffic. Like there's that tunnel right at the Prudential.
The Pru might be far enough away to keep you out of there if you head in the right direction.
I don't know. I just think you're out of your mind. Do whatever you want, but I ain't driving a car.
Quick escape. You cross over onto Newbury, and the Pike is right there. So
yeah, you just walk over past like Dylan's and that church,
that's right.
Yeah, the back road. You're right there. You come out over by Lucky Strike.
Yep.
But still, I mean, that's you're paying. I think it's $30 to park there. It might be 20 on game day. They might get some sort of discount. But I mean, listen, it's no fun either way.
I don't know why they give you a discount on game day.
They do.
Why?
Because it's more park. People will park there. It's like mass parking. They make money from more cars.
No. All right. What's going on?
Well, let's talk about the Red Sox. How about that? They seem to be doing everything they can to get into this postseason. And last night, they definitely did a good job with Xander Bogaerts, the hero last night.
They left the lights on from the TV.
Yeah.
So everything's all screwy in here.
You should thank Nick. It could be a lot worse
than
Nick it is.
Made it very clear to me what he did the minute I saw him. So he let me know immediately his good deeds, that he hung masks on the lights.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a weird vibe in this place today.
Yeah, the grills are on. I'm just now noticing that.
Yeah.
The old light grills.
There's a weird vibe.
And now that I've looked at him, John, your face is just a giant white light.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have looked up.
The energy in this room is very strange.
that is really, really tough to look at.
The energy in the room has changed.
Damn it, I didn't even notice it until you said something, and now it's driving me insane.
Well, I wouldn't have noticed it either until Nick said something to me, but he had to let me know he hung masks on the lights. Like, literally the first thing out of his mouth when I walked in is he's like, oh, you know, they left the lights on yesterday. The whole first hour of the show would have been about being the lights on. I said, well, did you do me a favor or did you take away content?
I want to get a T-shirt and hang it over both of those, but I know we will get screamed at by somebody somewhere. I mean, those are expensive lights. They're very expensive.
These square lights up here?
Yeah. Like
those are always on.
Yeah,
are
the square
they?
Lights
yes.
are always
square
on.
Square lights are always on.
Okay.
It's those two lights with they're pointed right at me.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
That's what he fixed. But the square lights are always on.
But there, it seems, with those lights on, it seems very dark around here. It's dark outside. I don't like the vibe today.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good vibe.
Why are the square lights always on? Now that's pissing me off.
All right, well, you got your own mental things to deal with. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
985 is a sports hub. We're Toucher and Rich. So you know how Facebook has stuff up, and you got friends there on Facebook that they comment on like things like national stuff.
yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, you do. All right. So anyway, so one of these guys like comments, and it was about Tom Brenneman getting his job back from Cincinnati. He was the guy, I forgot what slur he used, but he had a hot mic and he said a slur. And then he made a comment that 90% of the people that he sees, he's the play-by-play guy for the Reds. 90% of the people that he sees say that he should get back on the air. And so it was an article, Deadspin, and it was like, Tom Brenneman shouldn't get his job back. He was born on third base and then went into this big thing. And, you know, because everyone should really care if Tom Brenneman gets his job back with the Cincinnati Reds, because, you know, you all would be perfect with a hot mic in front of you. But if he gets his job back or not, it's not any issue to me. But then I went, oh, Deadspin. And I went, I like Deadspin a lot. It used to have a lot of Drew McGarry, and it had, I liked A.J. Delario a lot. A lot of people hate him. But
I lost
liked him.
A ton of respect for him after the Brett Favre, not the Brett Favre thing, the Hulk Hogan thing.
I liked him. And by the way, the site was 1,000 times better when he was the editor of it. And it was. And then the guy that got mad at Deadspin financed a lawsuit for Hulk Hogan. And now what you have is what Deadspin is now, which I have not looked at in like years. But I did, but I know the general vibe of it is that you're all evil and that that you should be fired and let someone who's poor have your job. So here is I just clicked on a random thing. Said, so here's one of the worst tweets of all time, which isn't that like a, so now you're monitoring Twitter and now we're going to put the hammer down on someone. So I go, oh boy. What has someone said? Has someone did Derek Cross get in the crosshairs of Deadspin?
I want to hear the worst tweet of all time. Let's hear it.
Okay. So it says one of the Men in Blazers clowns went all WTF with this one. So Men in Blazers are soccer guys.
Okay. From Canada?
I don't know.
Hockey, Canada?
No, they're from England. It's on after the when they have the Premier League on in the middle of the day. The Men in Blazers.
Oh, okay. All right.
Two guys in a closet. Right?
So already Men in Blazers. Okay.
Phenomenon.
The phenomenon that is Men in Blazers. The ivory tower of which the Men in Blazers sit is going to be finally taken down by Deadspin.
All right.
If ever there was a common enemy we could all focus on, I mean, telling people not to get vaccinated. I mean, all these things that they're doing on there. Men in Blazers, mm-hmm. The true tastemaker.
Okay.
I mean, how many Men in Blazers were at the Capitol insurrection?
I want to hear the worst tweet of all time.
I can't wait. I'm building it up.
I know.
All right. To let you know
okay.
that Don Quixote is Deadspin. Jason Sudeikis wins an Emmy for lead actor in a comedy series. Hard to exaggerate what Ted Lasso has done for the profile of men's football in the United States. Our women have won World Cup after World Cup, but few American men have done more for the game than Jason and his team.
That's the worst tweet of all time?
Well, one of them.
Well, I mean... and it didn't end with Dems the rules?
No, they paid for their own cost. Said, generally, I don't subscribe to the... Well, and I will not do this again. I'm not going to give them any publicity because I'm sure they'll write something about us getting fired one day. Generally, I don't subscribe to the well-held belief that Twitter is the ultimate cesspool of our society. Because this is a person whose existence is completely, I would imagine, fortified by Deadspin. Because then what would they complain about? If people weren't on Twitter, what could you complain about? It definitely visits there a lot, but it can be what you make it most of the time. And every so often it provides something so wholly bewildering that you really have to question if it's an art or a vision into a plane dimension where rules are completely different. This is the description of this tweet about the guy saying that Ted Lasso did a lot for soccer. I stared. Now, this is where you know that they got the creme de la creme of the writers. I stared at this longer than I did seeing Van Gogh's Starry Night at MoMA.
Okay. So, humble brag. It's you like going to the Museum of Art in New York City.
Well, he's a Ferris Bueller type. Mm. I mean, and to name drop Van Gogh, who's that? Maybe there's something hidden in it for everyone to find their own truth within. And then I stopped and realized it's another piece of incomprehensible drivel from a show that has specialized in it for years without anyone noticing, which in itself is an accomplishment worthy of respect. And then it goes on.
It says that
is claiming that a show that's been on less than a year and a half has done more for the popularity of an entire sport than... .. anything that has happened in the entire sport, not various World Cup runs from either the United States women's national team or the United States men's national team, not a generation of two or three of people who grew up playing it, becoming adults watching it, not NBC making every game viewable for the first time, which is, I mean, there's 1,000 more outlets now. Okay. I mean, way to look at it is from a macro point of view. Good media journalism there. Yeah, it's a little bit easier now to have the soccer games on TV, given that there's a trillion more platforms. Not the FIFA video game. None of it. A fictional show that has been on for 17 months. These people, the Deadspin people, not only do they want you fired, because of things that you've said, they do love soccer.
What's the name of...
They do rally around soccer, which makes me hate soccer even more. And by the way, yeah, like all the kids, they stick with it forever. Every kid that my son played soccer with is still right at it in eighth grade. There's like one, literally one kid that's still playing soccer because he's like phenomenal at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like kids... from like foreign lands that still play because their dads are like super into it.
Mm-hmm.
But like of like U.S. born kids, because I can think of like two kids that were born in Israel that still play. But American born kids, like one kid still plays. Like out of the whole
you know, 30 kids that played when my kid was little. Achi-machi. I mean, talk about getting mad.
I just love how he quotes all these things that none of us in the room really even realized that soccer had done.
Well, what is the men's team doing? They're losing to Fiji.
But yet everyone in this room could probably name a character from Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's just everything about that assessment is so pompous and so wrong.
Well, yeah, because it's someone that lives in Brooklyn that, you know, the one time they go to the bar, it's 10 in the morning on Saturday morning so they can wear a scarf.
Sure.
And pretend that they live in Barcelona, which you should just move to Barcelona.
Right. I can ask 10 people on the street. I want you to name one character from Ted Lasso, and I guarantee you I get more people who know that than name one player on the U.S. men's national team.
Well, oh, my God. It would be, and I've never watched Ted Lasso. I've never seen it. Neither is this person, by the way. But it would be a 1,000 to 1.
Yeah.
No one, who knows the name of someone besides Dan, that someone that's on the United States men's national team?
I know one.
Teal Bunbury?
No, that's, I believe he plays for the Revolution.
I know he does, but
I don't think
what's the name of the goalie? The goalie.
Tim Howard?
Yeah, not Tim Howard. The goalie for the Revs. Isn't he the men's national goalie?
Yeah. Anonymous Von Amonis.
John doesn't even know. Getting a call from Jonathan Kraft.
Pulisic. Yes, you are. Pulisic is the guy that I know.
Okay.
For the U.S. men's national.
All right.
He's one of the best players.
Okay.
John, because, you know, John bleeds the red, white, and blue.
Right.
Sarge is going to get mad at you.
We learned that when he was very disappointed.
I'm going to bring in my USA basketball hoodie tomorrow.
Well, you'll see. Don't tell this guy from Deadspin, because he's busy going to a Brooklyn bar at 10 in the morning on a Saturday with a scarf on, pretending that, you know, there's plenty of places around the world that love soccer, which is fantastic. Why does it have to be popular here? It's not like, by the way, you're not like punk rock, like in soccer. You're not like some like kid going to shows like at CBGB's in 1982, risking life and limb at a Sunday matinee. You know, skipping through heroin dealers on the Lower East Side back when it was a cesspool. You're watching television. Like, stop with this. Like, the tribalism of it, like, stop. What, because you went to Gillette Stadium? You're into something so underground? You just said it. NBC's got all the games. You're not part of, like, a scene. You're not doing anything indie. You're wearing a scarf that is sold by a manufacturer that manufactures these things in third world countries and sells them by the billions for, you know, 110% markup. So let's get over the fact that we're so precious for liking soccer. And the whole narrative of like, well, kids are playing it. Yeah, kids play it and then they stop playing it because it's boring. Just like kids stop playing baseball unless you plod them. And say you're left-handed, you have to play. You'd be giving up such a gift.
That's true.
To the world.
Daddy needs his moneymaker.
Yeah. Well, but more kids stuck with baseball than stuck with soccer. At least in my personal. I live in a neighborhood where you would figure a lot of kids play soccer. But enough with this tribalism of it. All right. Real quick. Rick. Go ahead, Rick.
Fred, you kind of nailed it there. It's like it's an underground band being played on the radio for them, the popularity of Ted Lasso. It's like being exposed to the masses is such a bad thing.
That's perfect. That's Nirvana. That's Nevermind coming out. You know what, Rick? That is a brilliant analogy. That is what it is. It's Ted Lasso is Nevermind coming out. Mm-hmm. And ruining it for everyone.
Oh, and now you like soccer. Oh, I see. Welcome to the world. Where have you been?
Yeah, totally. Like this fictional, everyone's hanging on everything for the United States men's team. They can't get enough of it. I love seeing Trinidad and Tobago sure. draw to a 1-1 tie.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite thing. That is perfect. Ted Lasso is
your favorite underground band going national on MTV.
It's like every Jawbreaker fan when they signed, or the Replacements when they signed to Warner Brothers.
I don't think Jawbreaker really ever kind of.
They signed to a major.
I know, but they never really kind of got to the point.
Wrong. That Jawbreaker fan base?
Oh, I'm talking about they never got into public consciousness.
No, but like they signed to... there's a documentaries about it. There's more than one. Like, it's like when Dylan plugged in. Now, this is getting very inside. But, there's a band Jawbreaker, and there's sort of... I won't describe them because I'm going to piss off their fans. But let's say a punk band. And people, that were into them were, like fully devoted to them. Mm-hmm. And they signed to a major... they had, Albini produced it or something. It's horribly produced. They're majorly up at Labio. Everything's muddy and buried. Because they kind of half-assed it. We signed to a major, but we still wanted to sound like Spot from SST produced it. So they, no. Oh, no.
See, I was thinking this is like Metallica's Black Album.
No.
This is when you had just a generation of metalheads. You had your own thing, and then the Black Album came out, and all of a sudden the football team
I think it's even smaller. I think it's the Jawbreaker thing. I think there's there's the crew in Brooklyn that gets together, and they go, look, a real Italian guy. A guy who really likes it. Italy will be playing, there'll be a bunch of real Italian guys at the bar. And then they'll be look like a real soccer fan.
I bet
that aren't pretending to like it.
There's got to be an article out there about what one of these pricks going on there saying, those plays they run on Ted Lasso could never be run in a real game. I guarantee they're sitting there analyzing. God, you could never run a play like that.
That is so true. That is so true. It's so punk rock to like soccer. Oh, ew. Yeah, man, you don't get it. It's boring. Okay. I don't get it. I'll tell you, my daughter still plays soccer, and there's nothing that my wife and I have harder to sit through than one of them soccer games.
Oh, girls' soccer, though, is so violent. It's way more violent than boys' soccer.
If you're a big enough girl, these girls will get out of the way.
I've noticed that myself.
Girls' soccer is, and talk to Mike. I mean,
Mike's daughter is played at elite level. Daughter plays different. Newton girls'
that's
soccer.
Different.
I mean, my daughter plays one practice a week one game.
I mean, if you're on a team where the kids don't really care, but I mean, those upper level girls' soccer, dude, they're kicking the snot out of each other.
It's like anything else. How do you know that?
Because I have tons of friends who have girls that play soccer, and they play in the same fields as my son does.
Checking out girls' soccer games with no daughters?
Right next to you.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
Yes, that's what I do. I stroll down by myself.
A little odd.
He's got it all. He's checking out girls' soccer games. He's got no daughter.
It's a wayward gaze to the other field.
It is
from
amazing.
Afar.
Yes.
You got binoculars, too? I mean, how does that work?
So violent.
Yeah.
Look at how violent this is.
It's true.
I honestly, I don't know. It probably is. I don't know what it is when they get good. I'll never know what it is when they get good. They're not up yet, right? All right. There you go. There you go. Thank you, Deadspin. You killed some time. And I didn't even get to read the whole article. All right. The Red Sox, they are not messing with a good thing. They're wearing their marathon uniforms, and they are winning lots of games in a row. We will get to that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Insiders.
Jeffy, hello, sir.
Insiders.
Maybe you know something. I doubt it.
No, I don't know anything.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. In the interest of fairness, Tom, go ahead. Tom.
Hey, guys, thanks.
Hey.
I don't have a lot to say about Ted Lasso, but... your radio station broadcasts every Revolution game, and Brad and Charlie do a great job. And unfortunately for Pats, Bruins, Celtics, and Red Sox fans, the Revs have the best shot at winning a title this season.
They do. They're still in first, right?
They're the best record in Major League Soccer.
So yep. In the league, guys. Matt Turner is the goalie you're looking for.
That's the name. Matt Turner. Yes. Thank you. Yes. All right. There you go.
By the way, Bunbury, Carlos Heel.
Someone did some research in the break. By the way, say what you will about this Red Sox team, but if you're winning six games in a row at this time of the season, you are that's very difficult to do. And I'll tell you what, I would not want to play them in the playoffs. The American League, I would not want to play them in the playoffs. I would certainly not want to play them in a wild card game.
Yeah, if you could set Sale up to pitch the wild
Sale
card
or Eovaldi. I wouldn't, in the way Cora works the bullpen, if they can rest guys, if they're not playing, if their final game of the season isn't a must win, if they have a couple days to set things up.
Sure.
I am not in any, I don't know if I want to play this Red Sox team.
Are you confident in them overcoming their defensive deficiencies?
That's the thing. They're still the worst fielding team in Major League Baseball. They still have a lot of deficiencies in that lineup. The middle of the lineup continues to produce, and that's good, and now they have everybody back from the COVID list, and that's good too. But if you take a look at that rotation, while it is pitching better, Houston and the White Sox still are better pitching-wise than you are the way through, and you don't have a closer on this team at the moment.
But winning six games, I don't care who you're playing against, winning six games this time of year is very, very difficult.
It is. And
much more difficult than winning six games in June. We all know this.
Even when some teams have given up?
Yes, because it's interesting you say that, because they haven't. Because the teams that have call-ups that are trying, and also these teams are aware that there is a spotlight on these games. So, for instance, Cincinnati, I'll give you an example of the National League. Cincinnati's played nobody. Cincinnati's losing to Pittsburgh. Cincinnati had the bases loaded with one out last night with Castellanos and then Votto up. With nobody out. They had the bases loaded with nobody out. They were down by two runs. Castellanos pops out to first. Votto, can of corn to center, and then whoever is after Votto got out as well. They've choked it all away.
San Diego is another team
that has choked it all away.
Out of control.
And there's fighting, and Machado's pissed at Tatis.
All of these people who run that team should be fired. This was their year. They traded for Blake Snell.
Well, what the else did they get?
They spent all that money.
But here's the rub.
They blew all those prospects on trades, and they're not going to make the playoffs.
If the only thing that he did that might have been a problem is giving Tatis all that money. That might have been the only thing they did that was the problem, because it might have made him who he is. Now, Tatis is performing wonderfully, but apparently he didn't like playing center field. And you heard about how Machado was yelling at him, it's not about you, it's not about you.
Right.
As they fall apart. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs.
Nope.
So you win six games in a row in September.
No, it's impressive. They're playing well. The guys that are supposed to hit are hitting. And the starting pitching hasn't been half bad. Eduardo Rodriguez with Jekyll and Hyde last night. But honestly, I haven't changed my opinion at all. They certainly have enough now to make the playoffs.
Well, they're making
They have enough now. Well, look at the standing. They're only two games up on the Yankees.
The Yankees are a disaster.
Well, we'll see this weekend.
But, John, if you take a look.
They have enough to win the wild card game. But after that, they're not going to be Houston in a playoff series.
No. But I wouldn't want to play them.
And that's who they would play.
Let's see what they do against the Yankees. Because if they sweep the Yankees or they win two or three against the Yankees, then I very much like what their chances.
They can certainly make the playoffs, and they have a pitching. And you make a good point. Eovaldi's been good all year. Either one of those two guys in a one game playoff, you would like your chances better than 50%. But they do not have enough pitching. They do not have nearly enough pitching, and the defense is horrible for a playoff series.
But the thing is that if you pitch, do you think they would pitch Eovaldi in a wild card game?
Whoever it is.
No, but it's interesting, because if they do, then you can start Sale in game one.
Yeah, and
you
won't have Eovaldi until game three.
Right. Well, I know that. But what you're saying, though, is that they have two quality starting pitchers that could win a wild card game, which is something.
Yeah.
All I want to be is on the record of saying winning six games in September is very, 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 very difficult.
2 weeks ago when we were discussing this, we discussed having Sale pitch a wild card game against the Yankees at the stadium, and you'd like your chances in a game like that. My opinion hasn't changed. They're playing well, but all this does is guarantee them a playoff spot.
High-pressure spots, high-pressure games. You see teams around the league folding, and the Red Sox have won six in a row.
So do you think with the 10 games left, John, and one series against the Yankees, the rest being you got the one against the Mets, and then you got Orioles and the Nationals.
Yeah.
If they don't make the postseason, is that a disaster?
Yes.
Yes.
At this point, it is.
At this point,
it's absolutely a disaster.
And the way that you could see it happening is if the Yankees come in and sweep, or they go to the Yankees and sweep.
No, the Yankees have to come in here and sweep that series.
Yeah, which is not going to happen.
So if they sweep that series,
the Yankees pitching may be worse than the Red Sox.
Well, I mean, and look at who just crapped himself 2 days ago. What's his face?
Cole.
$85 million man crapped himself.
Yeah.
I also haven't seen who the Yankees are finishing the season against. Because, I mean, that, you know, for the Red Sox, there's almost no excuse to not win those last six. I mean, you got the two of the worst teams in a row. You talk about six in a row, Fred. I mean, the Nationals and the
Yankees,
Orioles.
The Yankees finish, after they finish here in Boston, they finish against Toronto and Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So there you go. So well, it would be a disaster.
Now, honestly, Tampa may have locked up the division by then. The Tampa's the last three games
of
the season.
Decent point. But if I'm, you might face worse pitching, but Tampa, you can't take your foot off the gas
in terms of
your lineup.
The Red Sox and Toronto, those six games are huge.
Yeah. And Toronto's lineup is legit and their pitching is legit. I just they're not performing right now like the Red Sox are, and so let it be known, six games in a row. I don't care who you're playing against right now. There's plenty of teams that aren't winning.
Yeah,
I mean the whole National League has crapped themselves.
It's enough to get in. It's enough to get in.
Except for the Cardinals, the whole National League has crapped themselves in the last month. And we talked about it and all of that. All right, so there you go. They won again last night. All right. Tom Brady Sr. was on with Tom E. Curran.
Mm-hmm. And it's everything that you thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Tom Brady Sr. likes to talk. And why shouldn't he? He's got to be old as hell now.
He's got hand. My son is awesome. He's still awesome. It had nothing to do with Belichick.
Yeah, he's going to go. He's winding life down with his kids.
It's the victory tour, man. No,
this is Tom Brady throwing his voice to his dad and letting him speak.
All right, we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.